ushers us into can be something that we have to muddle through, something that we have to kind of understand as you go. You don't get it all. You just don't understand it all from the beginning. And this is what the Apostle Paul was dealing with when he wrote his letter to the Ephesian church to let them know, hey, here's how you're doing, and I'm happy about that. Here's what you need to know, and here's where you should be headed. And that's what we have been studying over the past few weeks. We're going to continue our study tonight. If you want to get out your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians. That's a letter, as we said. Now, we've come a long way in our study of this letter, and we have moved through all of the theology that Paul likes to lay down in the beginning of his letter. Paul likes to do that, by the way, as you read the letters that Paul wrote. He likes to start his letters by saying, here's what God is doing, or here's what God has done, and here's what God is like. And all that is what we call theology. And he likes to open his letters with that, and it's kind of a hinged thing. The first half of Paul's letter, he'll do all that theology where he explains God. And then the second half, as you flip the page, you'll find that here's what our response is to that. Here's what we should be doing and what God wants for our lives and how do we actually make life work in the second half of the letter. Now, Paul has reminded the Ephesian church to strive for unity. We've studied that here. You can always go to our website and hear these older messages from weeks ago. They are to strive for unity between believers. And another thing that he has talked to them about is what Elder Robert talked to us last week, how God wants for our unity among one another, us all put together, to make us a first-rate pit crew, a pit crew doing the ministry of God, everybody doing their job to make sure that we're on the track making things happen for God and doing what God has for us to be done in our era of time here. Now, Paul, now in this letter, wants to remind them that as followers of Jesus Christ, they are not what they used to be. They're not what they used to be. Instead, they're new creatures. And they're new creatures with new beliefs. They are people who should have new and proper attitudes. And they should be living life-giving actions instead of what they were living in the past. You'll remember that Ephesus, the town that the Ephesian church was in, Ephesus was a shipping town with lots of varieties of people and even more varieties of mischief and temptation and outright evil to be had. So Paul talks to them in this letter and starts to get on to the here's how to make life work side, moving from the theology. Open your Bibles to chapter 4, verse 17. We'll bring this up on the center screen for you. I have put together the Message and the New Living Translation. Instead of reading them both one after another, I put them together. And I think you'll find it interesting how this all comes together. Paul says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. And I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you, truly righteous and holy. It's the end of our passage. Now, as you will remember, we have been looking at this letter and we keep saying that the Ephesians were doing pretty well. They were doing pretty good in their followership of Jesus. Paul isn't scolding them. He's not scolding them. He scolded the Corinthian church in their letter, but he's not doing that here. Instead, Paul's trying to encourage them. So, as you're reading this and you get to this section, you may ask, why is Paul so fully listing the traits of the old life that the Ephesians led before they knew Jesus? Why is it that he's telling them not to live it any longer? Well, really, gang, there are two reasons. The first would be to know where you're going. You got to know where you're coming from. Now, Jesus' offer of forgiveness and of sins and sonship in heaven are wonderful gifts that the Ephesians wholeheartedly embraced. But Paul says, you need to look back at what you came out of, and you need to fully understand it. You need to grasp where you came from. The second reason he does this is because Paul wants to show them the true picture of the old life. It's because their old way of life is still going to be knocking at their door. The old way of life is still going to be chained to their ankle. And it continues to call its siren song, trying to woo them back to it. Some of these old traits, gang, are not dropped instantly, and they're not dropped easily. Now, as for me, just a little disclaimer heading into here. I'm never really all that comfortable talking about the dark stuff of the Bible, just so you know where I'm coming from. I don't enjoy that. I like the more hopeful things, the more happy, the more up. I'm into that. But that's not what this is talking about here. So if you'll give me a little grace tonight, we're going to have to look at some of the dark. Is that okay? I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to get down, but we're going to have to look at the dark so that we can understand the light. But I'm not trying to make you feel bad or demoralize you anyway, but this is what Paul wants them to get their hands around, and I think we need to get our hands around it too. So we're going to have to look at the old life. You with me? Okay, we're going to look at it. So let's look at the old life before God that the Ephesians were living. Now, like I said, I used the New Living Translation and the Message, and I compiled a list of 11 traits, which I've grouped into four categories on your outline. So use your outline, and you'll see that Paul takes us through a progression, a steady step progression of actions in the old life that make up the old way of doing life. And it starts first with this, decision-making in the old life. Paul says in the old life, people refused for so long to deal with God. People also closed their minds to God. And people made the decision to harden their hearts against God. Well, it doesn't get much clearer than that for us. In the life without God, or in the life before we know God, there is a stubbornness. There is a pride, a closed-off attitude, and a wall built around our hearts and minds. And this wall, this closed door, is erected between us and God. We don't want to deal with him. We don't want to hear about sin. We don't want to hear about crosses or blood or especially judgment. We don't want to open up or even enter into conversations about right and wrong, nor hear about personal responsibility. So we just keep adding bricks and making that wall thicker in hopes that God and all the talk of God will be pushed away. Now let me ask you, have you ever met anybody like that? Yeah, see the heads going. I have met people like that, and let me tell you, it's really, really tough when it's a loved one. Sometimes I'll see people so closed off to God and shut tight against any truth, I actually start to get a little angry at their resistance. And right about then, when that starts to hit me, right about then, God steps in, just like in our drama, taps me on the shoulder and says, "Yup, that stubbornness, that's just how stubborn and closed off you were. You know that anger that you're feeling? That's exactly the anger that people felt who were trying to get through to you, Drew. When for years you hid behind your wall and pushed God away. So don't forget, that was the way you were living too, Drew." Yeah, I get a whole lot more gracious with people when I remember the grace and the patience that was afforded to me. You see, gang, when it comes to people's old life decision-making of blocking God out, the only way you're going to get through to that person is through the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit can bust through that wall. And guess what? Even with the Holy Spirit's pulling on the handle of their heart's door, one knock on that door will probably not get you in. Even with the Holy Spirit jackhammering at their wall, one explanation of Jesus will probably not penetrate it. It's going to take time. It's going to take grace, and it's going to take patience and persistence to break through old heart thinking. So let me offer you an action step here. This is a takeaway for you. Remember your wall. Remember and be gracious because of the way we were in that old way of life as well. And enlist Holy Spirit help. See, the old life has made a decision, Paul has said. It's made a decision to keep their minds closed, to harden their hearts. And this progression that Paul says will lead a person to the next step. It will lead them to confusion in life. Let's label this one. I'm going to change this word here. I have it up on there. I'm going to give you a better word. Delusion in the old life. You can use delirium or delusion, but I like Katie gave me delusion. I thought it was a better word. Paul wrote this in the passage we just read, that these people who are in old life thinking, before they know God, they have wandered far away from the life God gives. They've lost touch, not only with God, but they've lost touch with reality itself. He says they can't think straight. Gang, there is a consequence for pushing away truth. There's an effect. There is an effect for ingesting wrong medicine. And Paul says that by closing off to God's truth, one loses touch with reality itself. What it means is that things that are wrong will feel right in this delusional state. Actions that are harmful and destructive are actually embraced and thought of as life-giving. The old way of life has attitudes that are poisonous, and they get nurtured and strengthened. Now, as I said earlier, even as followers of Christ, the old life still knocks at our door. Old actions are still chained to our ankles. Things that are destructive to our life continue their siren song. Some old traits, gang, are not easily dropped and are not easily gotten rid of. Now, trust me, we will get to the solution side of this, but for now, we need to be able to recognize this delusional mind of the old life. So I want to play a game with you, all right? I'm going to give you an actual statement or an action by someone. And you're going to have two responses you can choose out of, okay? Just two words on each response. Old life or new life, okay? I'll give you an action or something that happened, and you tell me old life, new life, and I'll cue you, all right? Let's do a little, we'll do a trial run. Remember, your two options. Well, I don't have candy bars. I don't, no. But I'll tell you what, I can show you a cup of coffee, all right? And actually, you've already been paid. All right, so ready? Old life, new life. So here's a little example. I don't want to hear what God has to say. I'll do it my way. Oh, you're good at this. Very good. Good. You're good at this. That's old life thinking, right? right? So if you hear people saying that, they're talking out of their old life. Here we go. I got a few of these. Ready? I don't care if my wife needs me to watch the kids tonight. It's my night out with the guys, and I'm not missing it.
Old life.
Oh, good. You got that, huh? Wow. Old life thinking. It really is. How about this one? Okay. I'm going to order it, but don't tell my husband what I'm doing.
Old life.
Old life. Not new life thinking. Old life thinking. And thinking that's right. Thinking that's okay. See what I mean about the delusional mind? Let's try another one. Can you teach me how to hide these texts? I don't want anyone to be able to find them.
Old life.
Old life. Try another one. After what they did, I promise I'll never speak to them again.
Old life.
Uh-huh. Very good. You guys are doing a real good job of spotting these old life. Do people do this that you know?
Yeah.
You think it's okay?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Let's try another one. I have a second cell phone so I can make secret phone calls.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. Got all these from the firehouse, by the way, just so you know. Oh, yeah. It's not you. You got these from the firehouse. All my old life people I love over there. All right, last one. I'm done being nice to them.
Old life.
You got them all right. See, Dave, I couldn't give candy bar for that. It was good, right? All right, you got them all right. Give yourselves a hand. Good job. All right, these statements are people living old heart, old life delusional thinking. These destructive practices seem okay. They even seem good to people in the old life. They think it's good because they're coming at it with a short-circuited heart, and it's telling them that delirious delusional thinking is right. Paul said they've lost touch with reality. Make sense? This is what they're holding on to, and it's not reality. It's not the truth. Westbridge, we need to watch out, because the old life may have been turned away from by you and me, but guess what? That old way of life is camped out right on the porch of each of our hearts, just waiting to get back in. Paul says, this is the old life. Understand it, recognize it, know it, and turn from it. Okay, the progression continues. We've talked about the decision to block God out, right? That leads to a mind that is deluded to reality, which in turn, next step, will dissolve the conscience. Dissolving the conscience in the old life. Where do we get that? Paul says that. He says that they feel no pain. And that they have no sense of shame. Now, this concept is something we must always keep in mind, this dissolving the conscience. Or as it's put in 1 Timothy 4:2, it says there's a searing, a burning of the conscience as if you burn it with a hot iron. It means that if a person keeps beating down the promptings of the Holy Spirit or in their spirit that something is wrong, then eventually those promptings that they're beating up all the time and not leading to, those promptings start to get neutralized. Their sense starts to get shut down. The impulse that's supposed to trigger stops triggering. Make sense? I was with a friend the other day. And he's a good friend, and I was at the firehouse with him, and he was telling me about his daughter. He just came back. He was down in Florida helping his daughter move. His daughter has done very well, went to college, went on to get her master's degree, and then is pretty high up in animal husbandry down in Florida. So I was asking about her, and he's very excited about his daughter. He says, yeah, you know, she never really found the right relationship. And we just helped her move into her new apartment. But luckily, recently, she met a nice man. And he says, I think this is the one. He says, so, you know, I wouldn't be long for her to probably, you know, not be in that apartment. I said, oh, that's cool. I said, are they going to get married? He says, no, they'll probably just move in together. And that stopped me. I just let him keep talking, and he just moved past it so quickly. And I thought, wow. He kind of had a whole searing of the conscience there between what's right and what's wrong, where there should be some shame, where there's something there that's not honorable, but that's gone away. Because my friend, as good as he is, good guy, is living the old life. So, wow, the Bible's true. It makes complete sense. This is what happens. Remember, gang? Do you remember? I'm going to talk to some of the older folks like me. I just turned 50. And thank you, by the way, for all the birthday greetings. And that was very kind of all you guys. It was wonderful. Especially people who wrote the 50 real big on the letter. Thanks. That was great. But do you remember when profanity on TV was something shameful? Yep. It used to be. Shameful. Searing of the conscience there. No more shame. Do you remember when Lucy and Ricky Ricardo on their TV show slept in separate beds? Because it just wasn't honorable to show them in the same bed. It wasn't honorable. Remember when talking back to your parents was shameful and dishonoring? Paul is telling us and showing us what the old life looks like. He's putting it right here in black and white for the Ephesians, and he's telling them that they have to make sure that they don't slip back to that kind of life. And more importantly, to get rid of it in the first place. It's got to go. Okay, old life traits and their progression. Let's follow it through again. The decision to block God out, not want to hear anything what God has to say, leads to a mind that is delirious when it comes to reality, which in turn dissolves the conscience. And Paul then says that that leaves us with a desired destination of the old life. The desired destination, he lists it as sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion, live for lustful pleasure, and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Now, Paul says, in the old life, physical love is going to be the answer. This is the desired destination, love, as they would see it. For women, it's gratifying the desire to be cared for and loved. And for men, it's simply physical gratification. So, gang, the Bible being true, and this taking a look as Paul is honestly looking at people who don't know God and this progression, it shouldn't surprise us that people who don't want anything to do with God, whose minds become delirious to reality, who have no shame, it shouldn't surprise us when we walk through the mall and we see banners hanging of half-naked underage teenagers hanging on each other that are supposed to tell us which jeans and underwear we need to buy so that we can obtain the desired destination of the old life. It shouldn't surprise us, because this is where the Bible says that thinking leads. All this is done with no shame, not the least bit thinking it's wrong, and all the while not wanting to know what God has to say on the subject. Well, Paul has painted the dark for us. He has shown us the old life, and he has done it vividly. He has shown us the old life, and I think we get it. We get it. Now we can get on the solution side of this thing and see the light. Thank you for putting up with having to go into that dark world, but we want to see all that the Bible has for us. Let's pick it up in verse 20. Here's what Paul says. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. And I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, verse 23, take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes and put on your new nature, renewed from the inside, working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you, truly righteous and holy. Now, gang, in this final summation by Paul of this section, where Paul points to the old life, there's nowhere here that Paul points to the old lives of others. Nowhere does Paul tell his readers that this struggle with the old life is a done deal for Christ followers or that they need to be focused on other people's old life. Instead, Paul tells his readers to assess their own lives and to be in the process of changing from the old life to the new life. So I want to ask the band to come back and our worship leaders start working their way back this way. In the coming weeks, as we're going to finish the book of Ephesians over the next few weeks, in the coming weeks we are going to look very specifically at change items. Paul is going to talk about change items. But to close out tonight, I want to offer you a takeaway, an assessment for homework this week. And here it is. List specific traits of your old life. This isn't for me to look at. This isn't for anyone for you to share with if you don't want to, but it's for you to take a look at your old life and say, hey, what are the things that really I needed to change so that I can recognize them? Like Paul's doing here, looking back and saying, whew, that needed to change. Thank God it did. Or maybe you can look at it and say, you know what? There's something still in me from that old life that I want to focus on that. I want to target that thing and be working on that in 2012 through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as the band begins to start to play, I want you to start your list tonight. I want you to take the opportunity to put down one item. Just between you and God, we're going to sit through the first verse. We're going to sit through the first chorus. And I want you to take time to say, you know what, Lord? I need to look back at my old life and maybe the life I'm living. Because what Paul is trying to do here in Ephesians, what he's trying to do is to tell them that turning to Christ, when you turned to Christ, which they did, that meant you turned 180 degrees away from a decision to not want to know what God has to say. When you turned to Christ, that meant you turned 180 degrees away from delusional thinking. Thinking that was going on in our minds through computer brains that were short-circuited, that didn't make sense. But now through the power of the Holy Spirit, we make sense. God shows us truth, what's healthy, what's wholesome. Paul's trying to get them to see that turning to Christ, which what they did, turning to Christ meant turning 180 degrees away from a conscience being dissolved and a heart that constantly would move towards hardness in attitudes, attitudes that pull us away from love, attitudes that would pull us away from purity, and attitudes that would pull us away from wholesomeness, being honorable, and spotting what's shameful. Paul says, turning to Christ means turning 180 degrees away from a desired destination that takes the joy and excitement and the beauty of an event that God created and turns it into something cheap and momentary, just an action. The change that Paul is talking about is one that we keep going, one that keeps going through our minds and keeps happening in our hearts to become more like Christ. Get rid of the old life. Burn it up. Let those ashes of the old life be put into God's hands that he can shape us into something beautiful. So do your homework as the band sings the first verse and the chorus, and then we'll join. We'll stand and join on the second.